And welcome to the Penobscot Bay Report and Gulf of Maine Monitor for July 18, 2020. I'm your host, Ron Huber, and we're here to talk about what's going on in and around Maine's biggest bay. I caught up yesterday with Ed Spencer of Don't Waste Maine, a citizens group dedicated to ending the importation of construction debris, demolition debris, and other waste into the state of Maine from elsewhere in New England and New York. Ed's been a veteran of this for a long time, and I think you'll find what he has to say very interesting, very revealing about where things stand, what the backstory and history is, and where we go from here. He'll also explain the absurdity of waste giant Casella's claims that ending importation of waste would upset Maine's waste hierarchy, as well as a discussion of where he sees the Maine Board of Environmental Protection going with this.
Hey, thanks for having me, Ron. Good to talk to you. Okay, so this goes back for the last several years. We worked on legislation to submit, and we succeeded in that. And one of the things that we wanted to do was to reform the definition of what Maine waste is. Now, things didn't work out well that way in the legislature. And so about a year ago, a group of us, we have this informal collection of people interested in, making Maine a better place to live. And so we started talking about petitioning the Department of Environmental Protection for a rule change. So Hillary Lister wrote up some language, and we started collecting petitions at last fall's Common Ground Fair, and our efforts were successful. I think we could have done it more quickly, but we wanted to get signatures from a wide spectrum across Maine. So in January, we presented the petition and the signatures to DEP. And they accepted them as a legitimate effort, and we were just beginning to we were just about to schedule a public hearing in front of the Board of Environmental Protection when the COVID situation changed everything. So currently we are working with the BEP staff to set up a public hearing by Zoom, and I think we're making progress, but it's one of those things. This is kind of unprecedented, and we need to ensure everybody has access to this process. So but I think we're about to actually get a date. I'm hoping for news on that within the next week. And in 1989, the Maine legislature, they had grave concerns that Maine was becoming a dumping ground for the rest of New England and possibly beyond. So what they did was they came up with legislation that outlawed any new commercial landfills in Maine. From that point on, any newly sited landfills were going to have to be state-owned or owned by some other governmental entity. And then going forward to 2003, and I should say up, so in that period of time, say up from about 1989 to the early 2000s, the amounts of waste coming into Maine were about equal with the amount of waste leaving Maine. And, Maine has long borders, and there's always been some materials going back and forth, either with New Hampshire or with Canada. But in 2003, the state acquired its first state-owned landfill, which had been a paper mill-owned landfill here in Old Town, Maine. And they've turned that into our first functioning state-owned landfill. And they selected this company called Casella to be the operator, gave them two choices of a 15-year or a 30-year contract. So, and at that time, it was a deal supposedly designed to save the mill improve the economy of the state as a whole. So the Casella was the only bidder on the request for proposals, so they were selected as operator. And then once they were selected, they actually did not fulfill all the requirements of the RFP. And primarily, they were supposed to post a $50 million performance bond, but they were awarded they became the operator, and then the state said, "Where's your performance bond?" And they said, "Oh, we don't have to do it. We only have to prove that we could do it." So the state let them off the hook, and because Casella is extremely well connected in the inner lobby circles in Maine due to their relationship with Pierce Atwood, lobbying firm. So, anyways, part of this approach for the new state landfill, they sent state officials local, and mill officials to this area, and they made two promises. One was that there would be no out-of-state waste coming into this landfill, and the other one would be that there would be no municipal solid waste or MSW. That's what we would call curbside trash. Okay, so those were the two promises repeated over and over again like a mantra. But as part of this deal with the paper mill, Casella agreed to furnish the mill with inexpensive fuel derived from construction and demolition debris. So and at the same time they were going around saying there'll be no out-of-state waste, they actually, the state planning office, who was the owner of the mill, on behalf of the state at that point, they actually signed an agreement with Casella allowing them to import enough construction debris into Maine to derive this fuel promised to the Old Town Mill. Okay, so this is complicated, so you kind of have to bear with me. Well, Casella never really furnished fuel that passed the standards of the state. The state had requirements. It can only have so much plastic in it, so many fines, and it had lead limits, right? And so when they finally got it, they never really burnt any of this fuel until 2006, 2007. And when they did, they made some hazardous waste in the form of ash from the so-called biomass boiler. Okay, so
you are listening to Bill Spencer of Don't Waste Maine discussing his organization's efforts to end importation of construction debris and demolition debris and other waste from other states.
About the same time, 2007, they put in the current definition for Maine waste, which includes, it can be from within 30 miles of the border, and anything that's used for grading and shaping and frost protection, right? So pretty, nebulous definition of what it is. And prior to that, it was, just common sense definition. It was, you know, Maine waste is waste that was thrown away in Maine. Okay. Now, this is important because there's entities called processing facilities in Maine. And what happens at these, and there's one in Lewiston, the largest one, called owned by ReEnergy. Casella used to own it. So what happens there is waste from states, primarily Massachusetts, so Massachusetts has banned landfilling of construction debris. So instead of complying with the Massachusetts regulations, they discovered they can bring it to Lewiston, to this processing facility. And once it comes in and out of the processing facility, then it becomes Maine waste. So this happens to the tune of over 200,000 tons of materials per year, you know, which is a huge amount. It's almost it's over a quarter of inputs into the state landfill here, Juniper Ridge Landfill. So, well, ostensibly this is a recycling facility, okay, processing facility. So this is off the top of my head, so don't anybody, you know, from the opposition have a fit if I'm off by it. Last year, 235,000 tons of waste came into the ReEnergy plant in Lewiston, okay? And over 90% of that came from Massachusetts. Now, at the same time, about 220,000 tons of that left ReEnergy Lewiston and came to Juniper Ridge. Okay, so we're saying over 200,000 tons came into Maine to Lewiston as waste. When it came out of Lewiston, it became Maine waste and came. And that's what's filling up our state landfill. So our proposed rule would restore a common sense definition that it would Maine waste is waste that was discarded for the first time within Maine's borders. Maine people we have a reputation for being pretty direct. And I think people appreciate this, and, you know, we don't like hearing convoluted definitions and explanations and legal talk. For example, this time of year especially, what's Maine known for? Maine lobster, okay? Well, when you buy a Maine lobster, is on the menu, expect, and rightfully so, that it was caught in the waters off the coast of Maine. Okay? Well, if lobster had the same rules, those lobsters could have been caught anywhere and processed somewhere in Maine and then become Maine lobster. Well, it's nonsensical, in your area, Ron, there's quite a few lobster men who would appreciate the, it's a joke, but it's reality. If we went further north from where I am, up in Aroostook County, it'd be Maine potatoes. Same idea. Let's keep it real, right? Maine has so much potential, and I think in a way this COVID crisis could be helping to Maine to fulfill the potential of a place where we protect, we care about our quality of life. And, you know, with internet access, people, there's a lot of people that can work from almost anywhere now. and Maine is ideal to them. And that's what we need is more, you know, more people coming into the state who can make it a little better. I mean, overall waste outputs per capita have been going down for years now, where we like zero waste policies and just uphold our state waste hierarchy, which is, you know, of course, we want to reduce waste at the source. We want to reuse it wherever possible, you know, just keep it out of the waste stream, or we want to recycle, and we want to, if we have organics, compost our organics, either individually, as we do here, because we've got plenty of space, or collectively, and there's outfits like in the Portland area, Garbage to Garden, where they collect your organic compost, your organics, and can return it to you in the form of compost at a later date. There's efforts like that underway around the state. So that's the future. But now we're seeing situations where a lot of towns have given up on recycling. And that's not a good thing, and it's going to cause problems for us down the road. So at Don't Waste Me, we're very supportive of getting more recycling opportunities for everybody, and there's a way to do it. And places like Eco Maine are trying and succeeding to a great extent in this. And if you listen to the CEO of Eco Maine, Kevin Roche, speak, he'll tell you it's all about landfill diversion. Okay, but the lazy way and the cheap way is to just throw it in the trash, and there's going to be some people who always want to act that way, but there's new generations coming up, so our task is to, lower our waste outputs per capita. Yeah, so, you know, it is possible to reduce our waste outputs, but some people in Maine, we understand how much is being brought into the state, and they're saying, well, why should we cut down on our waste if it's just making more space for these knuckleheads from Massachusetts? And it's a hard question to refute that.
You're listening to Ed Spencer of Don't Waste Maine describing his group's efforts to end the importation of wastes into the state of Maine.
And another thing about this, Ron, is interesting that people may not realize is one of these processing facilities like the Re-Energy one in Lewiston, by DEP rule, any processing facility has to recycle at least 50% of its inputs. Okay? But, and you think, well, we just talked about the stats that over 90% coming into Lewiston is from out of state, and over 90% comes to the landfill. So that means only less than 10% is taken out of the waste stream. But there's another loophole, much like the definition of Maine waste, and that is that material that is classified as what they call fines for daily cover, and that's a material that you cover the landfill with at the end of the workday. Okay, that material, these so-called fines, are classified as recycled material. And that is the only way that Re-Energy meets their 50% threshold of recycling. And plus the, well, we have to, you know, obviously we use all this material, so that means there's a need for it. Well, mostly what it's doing is covering the other inputs from re-energy, so which they might call bulky waste or just regular construction debris. So it's one pile covering the other pile, and then they're saying how essential it is. Well, if none of it came from Massachusetts, then, you know, there would likewise be about the same percentage of materials involved. So you'd have enough from Maine to cover it. And there's all kinds of materials that they can use. Some people say if, you know, it's going to be the end of the world if our rule passes, and that the state would have to buy virgin soil for daily cover. Well, for one thing, the state doesn't have to buy anything. That's all on Casella to operate, to run the landfill. The state doesn't pay them anything to do it. Casella charges tip fees to do it. And the other thing is, if they get in a crunch, there is a designated area adjacent to the landfill that they can use as a borrow pit. So it's relatively easy, and there are also large quantities of soil set aside. When they build this landfill, it is a major construction zone. They'll open up, you know, like, say, 5 acres of ground. So picture 5 football or soccer fields. And they level that out, and they got to put in all the drainage and the base for it. So as you can imagine, you know, there's a lot of materials being moved around during that, so they could set aside that. So there's no shortage whatsoever. And the other thing, what the waste industry likes to do is, at least Casella, they like to spread out their waste over a large area, because the larger the area, you know, they're limited to a 9-inch layer of this daily cover. So if you open up, say, a half an acre, you only get 9 inches times a half acre. But if you open up 2 acres, then you get 9 inches spread over that much. So it's like frosting on a cake. And they don't pay that material, the daily cover. I don't believe they pay tip fees to the city of Old Town on that. And even though it's going to be in the landfill forever, it's classified as recycled material. So maybe that will be our next petition.
So what is Casella up to during all this?
Well, they're trying to, you know, belittle our efforts and, you know, say how awful it's going to be. And they're saying things like this is going to turn our waste hierarchy upside down. And I got to say, this is there was an article a week ago. We're speaking on July 17th. On July 10th, there was an article in Lewiston Sun Journal titled Environmental Group Trying to Change Waste Rule That Benefits Lewiston Company. And in it, they say, This rule change would have turned the state's waste hierarchy upside down. Well, we like to say, actually, we're going to turn our waste hierarchy right side up, because this waste from Massachusetts, they won't even identify where in Massachusetts it's from, who hauled it, how it got to Lewiston, what it was. So how can the state ascertain whether that material has been reduced, reused, recycled, or composted to the maximum at its source? They can't do it. It's impossible. You know, it's just too much work, so they look the other way. But presumably, if we want to enforce hierarchy on local Maine waste, say your local transfer station, Mainers can be restricted by this. You know, we are banned from doing this. We're supposed to, you know, follow the hierarchy. So that waste from Massachusetts, they get a free pass And, you know, conceivably, Maine waste is subject to these rules. And what's happened here is that Casella has figured out a way to circumvent the intentions of the 1989 legislation. And they see Casella used to have a commercial landfill. Today, there's only one commercial landfill in Maine, and that's the Waste Management owns it. It's in Norridgewock. It's called Crossroads. So, but until about 2011 or 2012, Casella owned a dump in Hamden, Maine, and that was a commercial landfill. So they, you know, Casella used to own the Re Energy in Lewiston, so they would funnel waste from Maine into there and, you know, supposedly recycle it, and then they'd bring it up to Hamden. Well, a commercial facility is not restricted on where the waste comes can come from. Commercial facilities are subject to the United States Commerce Clause, which, you know, allows for free trading across state boundaries. Well, that's one of the reasons that for state ownership is because as an owner, the state becomes a market participant, and the state can restrict what comes in. So we have that right. We have that ability. We just haven't made the effort to do it. And you could say somewhat ironically, but the current DEP commissioner, Jerry Reed, he is an expert on Commerce Clause. So he knows these things. If the DEP gets challenged, you know, every once in a while someone will raise that issue. Oh, the Commerce Clause, you have to let them bring in whatever they want. Well, maybe you have to let them bring it into Lewiston, but you don't have to let them bring it into Juniper Ridge. And Commissioner Reed knows and understands those laws as well as I'd put him up against anybody in the state of Maine, because I've seen his presentation to the legislature on that.
So what is the Mills administration position on this?
You know, it's tough to read them still at this point, I think, Ron. I'd give them good grades in some ways, but I think what continues from administration to administration is that these lobbying firms in Augusta have a huge amount of influence. It's kind of scary in a way. You know, we hear about it in you know, at the federal level all the time. But in Maine, we definitely have that happening. So in a way, the administration just continues with the underlying practices where the waste industry has a lot better access to department staff, DEP staff, than citizens. But that's one of the things. Don't waste me is trying to change. Myself, Bill Lippincott, and Hillary Lister are the officers, and Hillary and I had a meeting with Deputy Commissioner Melanie Loisem and a couple of their head waste people earlier this year. So I'm not sure, you know, we got what we wanted out of that, but at least we got a seat at that table. So we're going to try to expand that access as we go forward, and maybe it's just that people haven't been assertive enough of our rights to have this truly a government of, by, and for the people.
You're listening to Ed Spencer of Don't Waste Maine describing his group's efforts to end the importation of wastes into the state of Maine.
Well, I'm really looking forward to this public hearing via Zoom, and we'll see how that works out. It should allow for a lot more participation, but we're trying to assure access to everyone. You know, we had 257 signatures, and we've had so far about 73 letters written on this. I'm sure not all of them are, from our side. But we want anybody who would like to be involved to have their time to testify. The comments are being accepted in writing. Right now, we've had a very good long comment period that way, longer than normal. The Zoom, if they follow what they've been doing so far, I think it'll be a pretty good opportunity where, you know, you can join via computer. If you don't have a computer, you can call on a telephone. Well, one of the things we're trying to work toward is having, because there are some Mainers that don't have, a smartphone or don't have a computer, and, you know, that could be an obstacle for them. So we're trying to think, okay, could they use their public library, and could the state provide a place where one could safely go and have their say and observe the proceedings via computer? You know, we've exchanged letters with DEP staff, and they're working on that. And I think it's coming to their realization and to all of ours that things are not going to be returning to normal, this year, I would say. So there is important business that needs to move forward, and so maybe there'll be some hiccups and false starts along the way, but I'd give them a pretty good from what everything I've seen and heard so far. I think they're doing a pretty good job of it, and as far as the DEP, I think they are actually listening and observing this process, and I think there are elements in the department that would agree with us, that their waste importation is a concern of theirs. If you read, like, their every 5 years they put out something called the Maine Materials Management Plan, and in the current one, which I think came out the end of 2018. They had a graph showing waste imports. They had a graph showing, that waste was coming into Juniper Ridge faster than they expected. So I think they are open to reform, but I think we're trying to change some status quo and some habits. And there's huge amounts of money involved for Casella and for Re-Energy and for others, and that's what we're up against. So we'll see how it works out.
That was Ed Spencer of Don't Waste Maine. For more information, go to the group's website, don'twastemaine.org.